hit recording now. We are on.
If you were interested to see a live, sorry, not a live, an example of this, Linetta, on Sunday morning, I'll bring it to you.
That's the Shechita.
The other day with
In fact, they say when they used to fahir in Teman, when they used to fahir the Shochtim, someone was studying to be a Shechit, so the Shechit had to, the young apprentice had to get up in front of all the Rabbanim of town, and he had to Shecht an animal, then cut it open and bring out all of the organs and go through the trefa, which is shaykh to happen in each one of the organs, part by part by part. So, okay, we're on Chavdalad Amud Aleph. We're starting from the Mishnah, about 15 lines down from the page. Again, we're continuing on a discussion of comparing different things. So says the Mishnah, kosher for koyanim, pasul b'levim. That which is kosher for koyanim is would render levim pasul ineligible. Kosher b'levim, but that which is kosher b'levim in inverse pasul b'koyanim is pasul for koyanim. What does the Mishnah mean? So the Braisa elaborates. Tana Rabbanan, koyanim b'mumin psulin, b'shanim kshedim. Koyanim, whilst they are disqualified by having mumin, by having blemishes, but they are kosher even with years literally means even they don't reach a retiree age. They are kosher even if they are older. Levim b'mumin kshem, but levim in converse are kosher even if they have blemishes. They're kosher to do the avoidus alevim. B'shanim psulim, but once they reach of age of 50 years old, then they are possible for the avoidus. The Torah says that levim serve from age 30 to 50. Now after 50, they have to retire. Nimsa, what do we see? Said Zabraisa, kosher b'koyanim, possible levim, that which is kosher for koyanim, which is the age, is possible levim. Kosher b'levim, that which is kosher b'levim, which is even having mumin, possible koyanim is ineligible for koyanim. So the Gemara now asks, Menahani Mili, from where do we learn this? The Tanu Rabbanon, the Pasuk says, Zoisa shel levim, that this is for the levim, from the age of 25 years old and above, he should come to serve in the Ohel Moed. Ma Talmud Leimar. So as Rashi points out, what's this teaching us? This whole parasha, we know that it's talking about the Levim. Why did it say Zois Asher LeLevim? We know already we're talking about the Levim. So he says, Lefi Shenemar, because it says, Miben Chamishim Shana. Yashuv, that he has to return back from the Avodah and he has to retire at the age of 50 years old. The Mat Levim, we've learned that Levim Shashanim Poisim behind that Levim disqualified by age once they reach 50 years old. Therefore, you might think Yachol Mumin Poisim Bahen. You might think that if Levim are disqualified by age, they should also be disqualified by having blemishes from the following Kal V'Chomer. V'dinu, it's a logical Kal V'Chomer. Uma Koyanim Shein Hashanim Poisim Bahen Mumin Poisim Bahen. When it comes to Koyanim who are not disqualified by age, yet they are disqualified by mumin by having blemishes. Levim shashanim poisim bahen in a din shehuhum mumin poisim bahen. When it comes to levim who are disqualified by age, how much more so they should be disqualified by having mumin by having blemishes. Talmud loyma, the pasuk comes to tell us zois asher levim, zois levim ve'ein acheres levim. Did I skip a line? No. So this is for Levim and nothing else for Levim, meaning the Levim are only disqualified by age and they are not disqualified by Mumin. The Ein Acheres to Levim. Yachol Yuhu Koinim Psulin B'Shanim. Now you go the other way. You might think that Vayil Kal V'Chomer that the Koinim should be possible rendered invalid by reaching old 50 years old or of age. Baloi Dinu, that should also be a logical Kal V'Chomer. Where it comes to Levim, that Mumin blemishes do not disqualify them, and yet they are disqualified by age. So Koinim Shamumin Poisim Bahen, Enodin Shanim Poisim Bahen. When it comes to Koinim who are disqualified by blemishes, how much more so they should be disqualified by age? So therefore, says the Gemara, why don't we say that Koinim are disqualified by age? Talmud Loima Asher Lalevim. It says, "Vezois this Asher Lalevim is for the Levim, The pasuk doesn't say this is for the kohenim. It's excluding. It's saying zois. This applies only to levim, and therefore the disqualification for age. Whilst we could have derived it for kal v'chomer, but the gzeris hakos of the Torah says it only applies to levim and not to kohenim. Now, interesting. We're going to learn shortly that this disqualification of age that the Torah says the levim can only serve till the age of 50. Only applied with the Mishkan, and it's talking about the Avodas HaKosef. It's talking about the Levim's Avod of carrying the Mishkan. Whereas, once the Mishkan came to Shiloh, and we no longer had to be transported, it was there for 300 and something years, and then in Yerushalayim afterwards, where it was a structure, it didn't have to move around. So then the Levim's job was the Shoyerim and the Meshoyerim. They would close the gates, and they would be the singers for the Avodah. There is no longer disqualification for age. The disqualification for age was only in the Mishkan because they had to carry, and that was not avoided for older people. That was Menei Kos, but I think that, I don't know if it was meant that because they were ineligible for that, then that applied across the board, or was specifically for that avoider. So says the Gemara, Yachol, you might think, af b'shiloi b'esoi lamin, you might think that this disqualification of Levim by age at 50 years old applies also in Shiloh and in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, which is called the Beis Olamim, the Eternal House, because once the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, it's forbidden to build the Beis HaMikdash in any other place. That's why it's called Eternal, says Rashi at the bottom. So you might think that the same applies. Talmud Lomer, the Pasuk says, in the Parsha of the disqualification of age, it says, La'avoid, avoidus, avoida, va'avoidus masa. To serve the avoidus avoida, the avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, and the avoidus masa, the avoida of carrying. What do we see from this juxtaposition? That this restriction on age only applies when you have the avoidus masa, the avoida bekasef, the avoida of carrying on their shoulders, which only applied by the Mishkan and no longer applied in the Beis Olamim and Shiloh. And Rashi says that there the avoida in the Beis HaMikdash was only closing the gates and singing, and there we don't have a disqualification by age. Okay, now talking about the disqualification of age. Yes.
But then the way they learn it restricts the 65 is only to what's shown to 1 out of 3 mishpachas.
One out of the three mishpachas who do the avodah zakat. See, I'm not sure. As I say, I don't know if that applied only to the.
Because it was
possible for in the kasef, so it became possible across the board. That's my understanding. Because if you look in the pasuk, it talks about avodas avoda, the avodas masa. Okay, Kosov Echadoim, and one of the psukim says that what is the earliest age that a Levi is allowed to do the Avodah? The pasuk says, Miben Chamesh Ve'ezrim Shana Maila, 25 years and up. The Kosov Echadoim, but another pasuk says, Miben Shloshim, that from 30 years and up. So which way is it? Is it from 25 or is it from 30 that a Levi is eligible to serve? Says the Gemara, if shalom shloshim, you can't say that it's 30. Shekvar nemer chafei, because the other pasuk says 25. If shalom chafei, but you can't say it's 25. Shekvar nemer shloshim, because the other pasuk says 30. So how do we resolve it? Haketzad chafei la Talmud ushloshim la avoda. 25 years at the age of 25, they begin to learn the avoda, and from the age of 30, then they are ro'i, they're fitting to actually do the avoda itself. Mikan, from here, Chazal learn the Talmud for a student. Shalai ra simen yafev b'mishnasi hey shanim. If a student does not see atzlacha in his learning in 5 years, shuv ein araya, then he will no longer see see success. And Rashi says, what does it mean if he learns and he forgets? So if he learns and he forgets after 5 years, this is not a student who is going to succeed. And we see therefore that 5 years from this Parsha of the Levim, the 5 years is the duration that it takes to really learn a skill, a trade.
Which means with Rabbi Akiva, was an issue of forgetting, was an issue of not understanding in the first place.
Or not knowing, not having been taught. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer Gimel Shana, but Rabbi Yossi says no, that the amount of time it takes to learn something and see whether you'll be successful in your learning is not 5 years, it's 3 years. How does he learn this out? Shenema, the pasuk says, this is a pasuk in Daniel. So it says, Ulegadlam Shanim Shalosh. It says that he to raise them took 3 years. Now, what's this talking about? So it says that in the Nebuchadnezzar, so he took Jewish boys who had been exiled to Babel, and he wanted to train them that they should be the courtiers in his palace. He recognized that the Jewish boys make good advisors and counselors. So he took young Jewish boys and he wanted to train them in the language and the writing of the custom of the local language. And it says that he trained them and to raise them for 3 years. And then it says, "Umiktasum yamdu lifnei hamelech." Some of them qualified and were able to stand in front of the king. So what do we see? It took 3 years of training. That's why Rabbi Yossi says it takes 3 years to learn or to see success in one's learning, not five. And what does it say about their job? Ulalamdam sefer v'lashon kastim, to learn how to write and how to speak the language of the kastim. So what about the Rabbanan who say that it's 5 years? What do they do with this pasuk? V'idach, shayni lashon kastim dekalil. They say that no, the language of the kastim is different because it's an easy language to pick up. That takes 3 years. And if you don't see success in 3 years, then you won't see success. But for all other works, from that we learn from the Levium that it takes 5 years. And in 5 years you don't see success, then you won't see success. It's not a requirement. Oh, then could he do the Avodah? No, that's so it seems to be, that's based on the Gemara, that's Gezeiras HaKosu for the Levium. From Mikan, from here, we find a remez to that which it says that if you... 5 years is the maximum amount of time that it's going to take to learn. But it doesn't mean a Levi under 30 years old would be able to, just because he's a quick learner, it doesn't mean he could be put into the service early. Okay, the Idach, what about the Rabbi, Rabbi Yossi? So he says, Shiny Hilchus Avodah Dekifin. He says that no, all other avodah, all other success in learning, we say is based on the custom, language of the custom, that it takes 3 years. But why the Levium, why over there does it take 5 years? Because that is a more difficult avodah, a strenuous avodah to be able to pick up. Okay, Tanu Rabbanu. Now let's talk about if there is any disqualifications on Koyanim for age. Tanu Rabbanu, Koyen Mishayavish de Cyrus ad Sheyaskin Kosher LaAvodah. A Kohen, once he becomes bar mitzvah, once he becomes a man, that is, he's reached age and he has the pubic hairs, the simanim, so then he is kosher as a Kohen until ad she yazkin, until he becomes old. And we're going to define what old means. Kosher l'avoida. Umumin poislim boy, but he is disqualified by having blemishes. Ben Levi, and a Levi, ben shloshim va'ad ben chamishim kosher l'avoida. A Levi from the age of 30 to 50 is eligible to do the Avodah, was shot in poison by, and the age disqualifies him, meaning after the age of 50, he is possible. But Medvar Mamurim, says the Braisa, when does this apply? But Oyel Moed, it only applied in the Mishkan, there was this restriction. Sheba Midbar, Ava B'Shiloi Beis Olamim, but in Shiloi in the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Nifsalin, the age does not disqualify. The only thing which would disqualify a Levi in the Beis HaMikdash, Ela Bakol, is his voice, if he cannot hold a tune. If you can't sing in tone. Amar Rabbi Yossi Maikra. Rabbi Yossi says, where do we learn this out? What's the pasuk to tell us that not being able to sing in tune disqualifies a Levi from the Avodah? So the pasuk says, in Divrei HaYomim, Vayhi ke'echad mechatzatzrim ulemeshoyrim, that he will be like one of the trumpeters and one of the singers, lashmia koil echad, to hear or to cause to be heard one voice. What's the idea of one voice? So Rashi says that they've got to be able to sing in tone so that all of the voices sound like one voice and they're not singing harmony or mismatched harmony together. So from here we learn a support for the din that a Levi who cannot sing in tone is not able to serve. Okay, then we said about the Kohen, whilst there's no age restriction technically, there's no retirement age, but it says he can only serve ad she yazkin, until he gets old. Ad kama, how old is that? Amr Rabbi Allah says, Amr Rabbi Chanina, Achi Yirtis, until he shakes. Rashi says, Yad V'raglav Roisin Me'en Koyach. His arms and his legs wobble and shake because he no longer has Koyach. And at that point, then he has to stand down. Tznan Hasa says, a Mishnah which contrasts. We learned in a Mishnah elsewhere, Balkeri Shetavo V'loi Hito Mayim Lech Sheyatil Tomei. So Balkeri, someone who had a seminal emission, becomes Tomei. He has to go to the mikveh, but he needs to go to the bathroom and urinate before going to the mikveh, because we're worried that maybe there are droplets of zera still there, and if he goes to mikveh and then he urinates, that zera will render him tamei once again. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, but the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi says, b'choyle u'bezakein tamei. When does this apply? Only with someone who is either ill or someone who is elderly. Beyeled ubabari, but someone who is young and someone who is healthy, tahor, then even if they did not go to the bathroom before the mikveh and they go afterwards, they remain tahor. And Rashi says the reason is because they are young, therefore when they give out the zera, when they emit the semen, it all comes out, and therefore we're not worried about any droplets being left. And now says the Gemara, ad kama, over there, what is that age threshold that we say a zaken, that if he's young, then we're not worried, but a zaken, Rabbi Yossi says, is a problem. Am Rabbi La, Am Rabbi Chanina, kol sho'emed aragloi achas, v'choylet minaloi, v'noyo minaloi. Whoever is able to stand on one foot and is able to take off their shoe and to put on their shoe, so then that is sufficient sign that they have koyach still, and therefore they are not considered zakenim. So it's not to do with being able to have coordination and balance, but it's, are you wobbly and shaky or not? Amra lava Rabbi Chanina, it says about Rabbi Chanina, Shahaya ben Shmoinim Shani, he was an 80-year-old man, Vaya oimel aragloi achas, he could stand on one foot, v'choylitz minaloi, he could take off his shoe, v'no minaloi, and put on his shoe, even though he's 80 years old. So we see that it's not really to do with being old per se. With the Leviim, it's a disqualification because of age, it's 50 years old, and that's it. With the Kohenim, it's not about that. It's about having the Koyach to be able to actually do the Avoida. Okay, and then he said, Amar Rebbe Chanina, Chamin v'shemen shishchasni imi b'yaldusi, hein amduli be'es ziknusi. That it is the hot water and the oil that my mother bathed me in and anointed me with when I was young, that has stood by me to give me strength when I was old. And this is an interesting anecdote in the Gemara, which brings out how the things which happen to a young child in their life, because they're young and impressionable, have a lasting impact and will carry them all the way through. Like we know, the things we learn and the images we absorb when we're young, that's what lives with us as we get older as well. Physically, he's saying physically it helped him. Yeah, he's actually saying that by being mavri the child when he's young, by strengthening that lasts throughout his lifetime. Okay, Tanu Rabbana. So the rabbis taught in a brisa. Nismale zekane, if he grows, is once his beard is full, roi le'asoi shliach tzibur, then he is fitting to be appointed. This is not talking about kohenim, it's talking about anyone. Someone whose beard is full can be made as a shliach tzibur, v'le'eret ne hateva, and to go down before the oren to daven, v'lises kapam, and if he's a kohen, he's able to do nesias kapayim to duchen. Now, me'emasai kosher avoda, and when is he eligible to do the avoda? Mishayavish te sires, till once he has physical signs of puberty of two hairs. Rabbi Omer, and Rabbi says, Omer ani, I say, Achia ben Esrim, that no, a kohen is not kosher to do the avoda until he is 20 years old. Amar Rav Chista says, my time of the Rabbi, what's Rabbi's reason? Meaning we don't actually see in the Torah itself, whereas with the Leviim it says very clearly from 30 years or from 25 years. We don't find a minimum age restriction for a kohen. Now, obviously, a kohen to do the Avodah has to be a gadol, have to be an adult, which is bar mitzvah. But we don't see any other age. So where does Rebbe get this idea that only from the age of 20? My time with the Rebbe, Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, V'yamidu salaviyim ben esrim shana v'mayla netech amleches beis Hashem. That you should stand the Leviim from the age of 20 years and up to supervise the service in the house of Hashem. And we'll see in a moment, whilst the Pasuk is talking about Leviim, Rebbe would say the Pasuk is referring to Kohenim. So says the Gemara, Ve'idach, what about the opinion that says that as long as a Kohen is Bar Mitzvah, that's good enough? What does he do with this Pasuk? He says, Natzeach Shaini, that Avoida which requires supervision or requires strenuous Avoida, so that is an exception. But to do the regular Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, and so that would be different. So says the Gemara, even going back to Rebbe, who looks at this pasuk and says, this teaches us that a minimum age of 20 years old applies to the koyanim. The pasuk says the Leviim, it doesn't say koyanim. So he answers, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he follows the view of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Be'esrim va'arba makoimis nikru koyanim Leviim. There are 24 places in Tanakh where koyanim are called Leviim, because again, koyanim come from Shevet Levi. So 24 places where the Torah uses the word Leviim, but the meaning is koyanim. V'zeh echad mehen, and one of them is, va'koyanim ha'leviim b'nei tzadok, the koyanim, the Leviim, the sons of tzadok. Tzadok was a koyan. Therefore, obviously, his children are Koyanim. And therefore, when it says HaKoyanim HaLevim, it means the Koyanim. Now, let's just stop here for a couple of minutes and go back to this idea. So we quoted before in the Braisa, which says that a person should not be appointed a Shliach Tzibur, right, unless they have Nismale Zekanim, unless their beard is full.
No.
Okay, right? Like we say in the Tefillah, the Hinni is Kalim Agudal, right? We have all these qualifications. So if you have this Tosfos here on the right side, at the top, so he says, Tema, I have a question on this. The Perek HaKoyre Samagila Amrinen Katon Koyre Batoyre Ve'ena Poyre Sashma V'lo Yere Lepnei Ateva V'lo Noises Kapav, that it says a Katon cannot do these things. A child. Mashma, how heavy stay Cyrus, which seems to imply. Yeah, cotton can have an aliyah to the Torah. But he can't dump for the Amud. But the implication is that once he's a gadol, once he's bar mitzvah, he's able to. Yet this price here says only once his beard is full. How do we reconcile it? So he says as follows: V'yesh loymar, the kshehevi be Cyrus yachol leired lifnei ateva. That to make him one off here and there as a chazan, not a problem, even if he's not yet able to grow a full beard. However, to appoint him as a shliach tzibur, to appoint him permanently or in a kavua way as a chazan, or to daven on fast days where you need someone who can arouse rachamim, like we said, someone who's got children and someone who's got daigus and worries, etc., so that we don't allow. And then he goes on to also.
It doesn't include
Rosh Hashanah. It certainly wouldn't include Yamim Noiraim as well. And then he also goes on to discuss also with regards to Nesias Kapayim, that we said over here that he's not allowed to do Nesias Kapayim until he grows a beard. Also, we say that in this Mishnah that we just quoted, the Mishnah, we said that a katan is loy noises kapav, is not allowed to do nesias kapayim. However, Rashi says that here the katan is referring to once he has shtei cyrus. But in Tosfos Agi he says it's mashma katan mamish, and he goes on to explain that a katan is able to be noise kapav together with gedolim, which is what we do, is that young koinim go together to duchen with their fathers, but to duchen on their own, then there's no mitzvah while they are Tanim to do so. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, the line begins Mehen and ends with the word Ish. Tanu Rabbanan, Ish Mizaracha L'Doyresam. So the Pasuk says that a man from his descendants for all generations, this is talking about the blemishes of Mumin. So it says, Ish Mizaracha L'Doyresam, Mikan Amar Rabbi Elazar, Katan Pasul L'Avoida. From here we learned that a katan is possible to do the avoida vafilu tam, even if they are free from blemishes. Meaning, you might think because we link age and blemishes together, that maybe a katan, if he's free of blemishes, would be able to do the avoida. But the pasuk says mizara chaladoyre sam. It says ish, a man, which is meaning that he's got to be of age, and for all generations he is disqualified by having any mumin, by having any blemishes from him as well. And there we see that he's disqualified throughout his coin, is disqualified permanently if he has any blemishes on him, and also Mizaracha, also from the young ones as well. It makes that meaning the coin is disqualified if he has a blemish, but if he doesn't have a blemish, he's eligible to do the avodah. But what does the Torah say? Ish. If he's not an ish, if he's a child, then it's irrelevant whether he has a mum or not. So says the Gemara, when is he eligible to do the avoida? Once he has two pubic hairs. Ava, but then continues on. Ava echav hakoyanim, his brothers, the other koyanim, ein manichin oiso lavoida, lavoid achia ben chaf. The other koyanim, whilst min atoira, he is able to do the avoida at the age of bar mitzvah. The other koyanim would not let him do the avoida until he was 20 years old. Now, why not? Ikadamri, there are those who say, HaRebihi, that this view of the other Kohenim who would not let him serve till he's 20 is the view of Rebbe, who we learned earlier from the Pasuk derives that a Kohen is ineligible midrabanan for the Avodah unless he's of the age of 20. Ikadamri says Rashi, HaRebihi, Da'amal El Omer Ani Achi Ben Chaf, I say it's until they're 20 years old. And here he's telling us that Rebbe himself is only Poisel Lechatchila and not Bediyevet. Meaning that when Rebbe said that from 20 up to 20 years old, he cannot serve, and only from 20. Rebbe was not saying that this is a halacha, that this is a din derabanan. He's saying this is what the koyanim would do, and it was out of respect for the avodah and respect for the Eibishter that they didn't want young guys being involved in the avodah. However, there are those who say ikad da'amri. However, ikad da'amri Rebbe. There are others who say that it is Rebbe. That Rebbe says no, it's not just the Kohenim wouldn't let him serve at 20. Rebbe himself holds that there's an Issu Derabanan from the Pasuk that he cannot serve till he is 20 years old. And this Braisa, which says that the Kohenim would not let him do the Avodah, which is mashma that technically he could, but the Kohenim did not let him, that is the view of the Rabbanan. And according to the Rabbanan, only the Chatchila he's not allowed to do the Avodah, meaning they wouldn't let him do it. But if he did it, as long as he's Bar Mitzvah, the Avodah is kosher. Okay, new Mishnah. Another set of things that we are contrasting one to the other. Tahor b'kli cheres, that which is tahor for a kli cheres, for earthenware vessels. Tameh b'chol akelim is tameh for all other vessels. Tahor b'kli metal kelim and the like. Tahor b'kol hakelim, and that which is tahor for all other vessels. Tamei b'klicheres is tamei for an earthenware vessel. So what does this mean? Again, it's short and it's cryptic. So the Braisa elaborates. Says the Braisa, the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan, avir klicheres tamei. So we know that certain things, if the keli comes into contact with the sheretz, the keli becomes tamei. Now, with all other types of material kelim, such as metal and the like, the keli will only become tamei once the sheretz actually touches the keli. If it's merely suspended in the air space of the keli will not be tamei. But a kli cheres, as we've learned many times already, a kli cheres is metame besoichoi, even ba'aviroi, even just from the airspace. So he says like this, avir kli cheres tamei. Just by coming to the airspace of a kli cheres is enough to render it tamei. The gavoi tahar, but contact from the outside of the kli cheres is tahor. So if a sheretz touches the outside of a kli cheres, the kli cheres remains tahor. Avir kol akelim, but in the inverse, the airspace of other kelim tahor. So if a sheretz comes into the airspace of a metal keli and it doesn't yet touch the keli is tahor. But v'gaban tamei, but it can become impure from touch on the outside. Nimsa. That's also certainly tamei from all kelim. The whole keli, the whole keli tamei. Whereas on the outside,
air and external is what do you call it? It depends whether it's
kli cheres or kli shetef. Yeah, very good. Okay, so what do we see? Nimsa says the brisa tar be kli cheres. That which is tar from kli cheres, which is touching on the outside, is tamei b'chol hakelim. The tar b'chol hakelim, and that which is tar with all kelim, such as the sheretz coming to the avir, the air of another keli, tamei b'kli cheres is tamei, will render a kli cheres earthenware tamei. Says the Gemara, Manahani Mili, from where do we learn this from? The Tanur Rabbanan was taught in a braisa, the rabbis taught, toichoi. So the pasuk which talks about earthenware vessels, it says, v'chol kli cheres, asher yipo mehem el toichoi, any kli cheres, that something impure, such as a sheretz, will fall into. Everything inside of it becomes tamei, and the klicheres you have to break, because the klicheres, once it becomes tamei, you cannot kasher it in a mikveh and make a tar, and therefore you have to break it. So the pasuk says toy choy, inside of it, and therefore what does it mean? Just by being inside of it, as soon as the tumah is inside of it, even if it's not yet touching the inside of the keli, that is enough to render it tamei. Ato Omer Afibishale Naga Eina Ella in Kain Naga. So hang on 1 second. Maybe Toicha means only if it goes in and it touches the inside of the keli. Or maybe no. Maybe it's even when it touches. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonasan ben Avtumus Omer, Rabbi Yonasan ben Avtumus says, Nemar toichoi letamei, v'nemar toichoi litamei. So it says toichoi in this pasuk twice concerning two different things. One is for itself to be, one is to render other things impure. So for example, if you've got a kli cheres which was tamei and food stuff goes into it, the food will become tamei. And the other is talking about litame for itself, the keli to become tame, if something tame falls into it. We juxtapose these in the same pasuk. Ma toicha amul litame, just as toichoi used in this pasuk with regards to the kli becoming tame by something tame going into it. A kli cheres which is tame to make food stuff placed inside of it impure. Afa pishalei naga, and that applies even if the food is not yet touching it, it's merely in the airspace of the tomei keli. Af toicha amul tomei, so too the word toicha with regards to the keli becoming tomei by something falling into it, af apishle naga, also applies even if it didn't touch.
It's interesting that the starting point is, you're saying something comes into the keli, and the keli in the air, and the keli, and the air makes that thing tomei.
Well, it's not the air. It's not the air. It's the keli, but by being in there, yes.
But it hasn't touched the keli. Yes. It's only in the air of the keli, right?
Yep.
So that's its starting point. And then it comes back to the other one. How did the keli come from in the first place? Was because the sheretz went into the air.
Well, maybe not. But we're saying it could have touched it. But we're going to prove in a moment that when it comes to being letame for the keli to be metame foodstuffs in it, is even if it's in the airspace, and it used the word toichoi for that.
Yeah.
So too, with regards to the keli becoming tomei, it is also when it's in the airspace because it used the same word toichoi. So let's see how we prove this. Says the Gemara.
About something that falls inside.
Both. It's talking about, yeah. It's talking about something falls inside. Correct. Yeah, well, so it says what's in it. No. It just means what's in it.
It means something that comes into the keli.
Becomes tummy.
Right.
So that's why the learning is starting from that point. Okay, but you asked why it's starting from that point. The limud is starting from that point because that's where the pasuk starts from.
I'm asking on the pasuk also. So in other words, if the pasuk assumes that something coming into the keli in the airspace of the keli becomes tummy, well, how did the keli become tummy? That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Isn't the starting point that first you've got to have the keli becoming tummy and then it's metame?
That's in the pasuk, but that's because the pasuk happened. The pasuk is talking about. But what happens if you have a keli which became? Yeah, but maybe that's only through negiah. Maybe it's only for touches.
So what you're saying is that if a keli became tomei through something touching inside.
Yes.
You're saying therefore it'll now extend it and it'll be tummy.
Even in the avir, maybe. But now what we're going to prove is no, because we juxtapose the two, the way the keli becomes tame and the way the keli is metame other things is the same. Just as the way the keli is metame foodstuffs in it is even in the avir, so too the way the keli itself becomes tame is also in the avir. Now how do I know from this pasuk that the keli is metame food even for the avir? So says the pasuk. So he says, v'hasam menalan. Where do you know that makes the food tummy even in the airspace? Rabbi Yonasan says, HaTorah he'ida al kli cheres. The Torah itself testifies that a kli cheres, v'afilu mali chardo, that even if it was filled with mustard seeds, all of the mustard seeds becomes tummy. Now, obviously, only part of the mustard seeds are touching the keli, and the rest of it is suspended in the avir. Now, the mustard seeds cannot...
The food does not pass
tuma to another food without a liquid. And the mustard seeds do not have a shear of a kibetza, like Rashi says. So it must be because of the avir. Now, what does it mean? So look at Rashi. It says, kol asher besoichoi. It says, kol asher besoichoi. Anything that is in it. Which means that it doesn't have to be touching. Just the fact that it's in it is enough for the foodstuffs to be rendered tomei. And by juxtaposition, I learn that for the keli to become tomei, it's also enough just to be in the airspace. It doesn't have to touch. Okay, Amalei Rav Adabar Aval Rava.
If it's an over full pile, the things on the top wouldn't be tummy then.
Then the things wouldn't be tummy because it's not in the airspace. Good. Okay, Amalei Rav Adabar Aval Rava. Rav Adabar Aval said to Rava, Yehei Kli Cheres Metame Megabe V'Kal V'Choymer. Now let's go our Kal V'Choymer shtick again. So he says, why don't we say Kli Cheres could become tummy by touching the outside of the keli from the following Kal V'Choymer. Uma kol hakelim, when it comes to all other kelim like metal, she'ein mitamin ma'aviron, there they do not become tomei by the airspace, and nonetheless mitamin megabon, they can become tomei from the outside. If so, klicheres shemitamin ma'aviron, klicheres which can become impure from the airspace, ein adin, isn't it logical? Kal v'chomer shi'itamin megaboy, that should become tomei from the outside. Says the Gemara, Amakra, the Pasuk says, B'chol kli pasuach asher ein tzomid psil olav. The Pasuk says, with regards to tumas oil, all the kelim in an oil become tamei. It says that any earthenware vessel which does not have a sealed lid on top of it, then it becomes tamei. From obviously the outside of it becomes tamei. So let's see. So he says, Ezo kli shetumasoi kodemus lepischoi. What is a keli that its tumah comes before its opening, meaning it comes quickly to its opening, which means that as soon as it comes into the opening of the airspace, that is enough to render it tameh. As we've already established, that is talking about an earthenware vessel. V'chi ein tamid alav hu de tameh. And what do we say? It's only if it's open, then it becomes tameh by being in the oil of a mace, because the tumah goes into it. Ha yesh tamid pasil alav, but if it is sealed on the top, tahar, then it is tahar. Even though the airspace of the oil is touching the outside, I see from this that the touch on the outside does not render a kli cheres tame. Says the Gemara the other way, v'yu kol hakelim mitamin ma'avira mekal v'chomer. Let's say all other kelim should become tame from their airspace from the following kal v'chomer. Uma kli cheres she'en mitamin migaboy, mitamin ma'aviroi. If an earthenware vessel which cannot become tamei from the outside nonetheless becomes tamei from the airspace, kol akelim shemitam migabon ein adin shemitam ma'aviron, all other kelim therefore which can become tamei from the outside, isn't it logical kal v'chomer that they should become tamei from the airspace? Says the Gemara, Amakra, no, we don't say that, because it says toichoi in it, meaning toichoi, the fact that it says in this, in it, means it only applies to it, to this, and not to other types of kelim. Toichel shel zeh, v'loy toichel shel acher. The tumah can only be conveyed from airspace, toichoy, in this one, which is an earthenware vessel, and not with other kelim. V'han, says the Gemara, that's what you're using the word toichoy for. V'hani toichoy hadar shinu. We've already used this word toichoy to expound other things. As Rashi says, one of them is for the actual din itself, to say that something which falls into it becomes tame, and the other is to make a hekesh between the, like we made before, the gzeira shava, toichoy toichoy, that just as foodstuffs inside of the keli become tame in the airspace, so too the keli becomes tame from the airspace using this gzeira shava, toichoy toichoy. So how could you use this word toichoy now to exclude other vessels? Says the Gemara, Arba toichoy ksivi. Really, it says toichoy four times in the Torah. It actually does not. It says two times. But toichoy toich, toichoy toich. The Torah could have written the word toich. The fact that it says toichoy teaches us two things. And since the word toichoy appears twice in the pasuk, there are actually four things that we learn out from this pasuk. What are they? Chad l'gufei. One is just for the literal simple reading of the pasuk. Chad l'gzeira shava, one is to make the gzeira shava to equate the laws of something becoming tamei by falling into the klicheres to the laws of the klicheres rendering something tamei inside of it. V'chad toicha shel zeh v'loy toicha shel acher, one is coming to say that this law of being tamei in the airspace through the airspace only applies to this, to an earthenware vessel, and not to other vessels. And finally, v'chad toicha v'loy toich toichoy, and the last case is to say that the kli cheres will only become tamei if something falls into it, and not to something that is inside of it. Vafilu kli shetef, even if what is inside of it is another type of vessel, not earthenware, that can become kashered in a mikveh. Now, what's that idea? It's like this. If I have an earthenware vessel, and inside of that I've got a metal vessel, right? Now that metal vessel we're talking about where it sticks up above, if it's smaller and sits below the surface, then the avir will catch it anyway. It will go in. But let's say I've got an earthenware vessel and inside I've got a metal vessel that sticks up, and I now have something tame fall into it, or food stuff that goes into it, and the earthenware vessel is tame. Now if what's inside is an earthenware vessel, so we've already established that an earthenware vessel cannot contact tumah from the outside. So if the keli was tame and I have an earthenware vessel inside of it, so it cannot defile that earthenware vessel because it's on the outside. Therefore, certainly whatever goes into that inner vessel is fine. Afilu klishetev, he says, even if it is a metal keli which can contract tumah from the outside, but it's a gzeiras hakosov toichoy in it, in the original keli, and not toichoy, not something which is inside of it. And therefore, if food or something goes into a metal keli within a tummy earthenware vessel, that food will be protected and will be safe. We'll stop there, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay. 9 o'clock.